one of the things that the Bible doesn't talk about is you know, when Israel left Egypt, there was all kinds of Israelites that didn't leave. And there was all kinds of friends and engagements and alliances. I mean, we think of it, we think in terms of fairy tales where we can't emotionalize the idea that at some moment in time, whack, that everything and everybody had to be crystalline or they were dead. X numbers of people left, and each one of those people had alliances with people and friends and family. Every one of those people had to say, yes, I believe, or no, I don't believe. Kennelly did the same thing there. We wandered around the wilderness for all this time. Now the biggie comes. There wasn't any passing under the rod in Egypt. Now, before you can enter the promise, same thing happens. And it's a moment in time which causes a confrontation with the God of the universe through, you know, you can subjectively go on and say, well, I don't know if I believe this or what, but from the standpoint of us, you emotionalize that just as it was as if we were right there walking in. You can't do it. As long as you don't confront and know the terror of God. Because otherwise, this is a dumb thing to do.
Yeah. Amen.
And so if I haven't warned you, then your blood is in my head when this process takes place. Because this is all this is a picture of the last moment. You know, we really, and you can't bring anything with you, nothing. That's why, you know, anyway, so, you know, you're gonna, the worst thing that anyone can do from the standpoint of what true faith is to soft soap it to another person. Because then you are, you're robbing them of life in the name of your own cowardice.
Yeah.
I don't think I've soft-soaped it to you.
No.
But probably compared to if I were a good preacher, I've soft-soaped it to you.
Don't worry.
What's your frame of reference?
Yeah. It's like, we can't make comparisons with the other person.
You either... That's what we're going to look at tonight.
I think if you preached, at some points, if you preached any harder, you know, I would have left. And at some points, if you preached any softer, I would have left. I mean, I can see both.
Joshua.
Where are we, Joshua?
Well, we're going to quickly fly through chapter 1, just so you can set up.
Say that we read it.
Yeah, so you can say you've read it. Now, after the death of Moses, remember when you got to see that the death of Moses is symbolic for the law. We talked about last night. Remember that. Law is not just these 613 laws of Moses. It's the way you think things should be.
Amen.
the way you think things should work. That's the law to you. And normally it's a stupid law, but it's still the law to you. When you have an identifiable program of the way you think things should work.
You're not
going to
wipe.
What?
Last time I checked.
Last time I looked, Dougie was in
Are you
going to
do something?
No! I said, good, she found a sweater. She was cold.
Okay, so in the metaphor of this process, then the book of Joshua can't take place until the law dies. You got it?
Well, I thought the law didn't die until Jesus came, and then that's when the grace, until the cross.
But the Old Testament is the metaphor. Joshua is the word Jesus. Yeshua is the word Joshua. So the book of Joshua is the book of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You got it?
See, that's the question I was going to ask you.
What?
What I asked.
That's good.
What good question?
Brother Allen asked.
You know what?
But no man knoweth of a sepulcher unto this day. I know where a sepulcher is. It's in the ark.
What the hell are you talking about?
When Moses died, he was buried, but no man knows to this day where a sepulcher is.
You mean he's reading ahead. No, he's reading behind.
Backward. He's reading behind.
It's not edifying.
As usual.
It's not edifying.
Frail.
Sit still.
Hey, buzz off.
Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Okay, that's what we're about to do. That's what we're doing. Some of you are in the, you know, as I talked about, some of you have passed under the rod. If this is a nervous time in your life, don't be surprised. If this is a weird time in your life, don't be surprised.
Yeah. It's both.
I don't want to read that whole thing. Go to chapter 2.
Version.
You can read it.
Is this a dog?
You got a Bible. Read it on your own time.
Don't need a waste tape.
Well,
hey. In chapter 1:18 it says, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and be of good courage. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly.
Chapter
2.
Chapter 2, verse 1.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you see the path? This, again, is your mind. This is you. You've gone through all these gyrations and messings and now we're right here, and we're waiting at Shittim.
Sounds like a great place.
Acacia is the word for Shittim. That
it's
sounds better.
Place.
It's an acacia.
Acacia.
It's the acacia tree. It's the crown of thorns.
Wow.
You got it?
Thorns
were made. The thorns were made of the Shittim tree or the acacia tree. Okay, you're in this, we're here. Do you remember John's song?
Which one?
Field of Acacia.
You camped at the Field of Acacia.
Hand me a book.
Unable to enter the promise they mount.
Yeah. Throw me a book. This is called, the song is called The Threshing Floor. If Matt and Jackie were about their business, we should be able to sing it right now.
If you were good,
please. If you were about other business. You know, sorry,
sorry to do that. That's my job.
Yeah.
He's jealous because your arms are so good.
When the reaping is done and the wheat sheaves are scattered and the ox is through grinding and the husk has been shattered and the wind rushes down up high on the hill, the old chaff is scattered and the new seed lies still. Now when Joseph went up with the body of Jacob and waded the Jordan and buried his bones, the Egyptians encamped at the field of Acacias, unable to enter the promise they moaned. That's where this is. the field of acacias is Shittim. Okay? Moses returned to that field with the ark, and the children of Israel set to embark. He gave law and warning of future years and filled them with hope and ground them to tears at the threshing floor. The Talmud says wherever you pass under the rod, it by definition is the threshing floor. Now you're doing this for a purpose. You're passing under the rod, you're crossing the Jordan in order that you can get to and attack Jericho. The first thing that happens when you cross this Jordan, which is the true river of life. You remember the river of Egypt was the phony river of life. It was turned to blood, your hopes and dreams were shattered. Now we got the true river of life, which is the Jordan. The only reason, on the trek, on the path that we're on, the only reason you want to cross that river of Gilgal, is Gilgal is where the reproach of Egypt is rolled away. So we're circumcised a second time, so that there was no possibility of any of the flesh being still tied to the heart, is to get to Jericho. Why in the hell do you want to get to Jericho? Why don't you just bypass it and go directly to Jerusalem? The reason you have to get to Jericho is because Jericho is called, the word Jericho means the fortress of fragrance.
So that's like the last stronghold of thinking that there's
and the fragrance is always the incense, always the thoughts of the saints.
The sweetest, most dear thoughts.
Right. It's a fortress for which the walls of that have to be torn down. Now the metaphor, that's the metaphor for the whole land. The metaphor in the temple itself is the altar of incense, which is right next to the Holy of Holies. So in both cases, it's the incense or the fragrance that is your thoughts.
The last stronghold. It's like the
second to last.
Really?
Just when you thought.
You understand why Jericho has to be attacked?
No. These are the holy thoughts, right?
These are the ones that you think are good.
These
are the nice guys.
Oh, we did that shit already. Still.
It's like when you clean a house, it doesn't stay clean forever. How it gets dirty again. That's the lesson we learned.
This is going to make a great mini-series.
So this is the stuff about charity and taking care of babies and stuff like that?
No, it's all of it. It's all of your, but it's the fragrance. It's the fortress of the fragrance. And what happens at Jericho is that you don't have to do anything. The walls are going to fall down if you abide. Can you understand why Christ, are you getting to understand better why Christ said abandon yourself? Mm-hmm. Take no thought for or about yourself in any dimension. Except you become as a little child, you cannot be converted. But to me, there's a beautiful symmetry in finding out that Jericho means the fortress or the walled place of fragrance. Always throughout the scriptures, fragrance is the prayers or the thoughts. So don't be surprised if you feel embattled vis-a-vis your thoughts. Now, what happens to the fragrance when the walls come down? When the walls come down, then it's spread abroad. Then you can, it's just there. You commend yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Total freedom. Total
response.
See, this is where you really start to get
into...
This is where the shit starts to really fly, because this is where your mouth is open at will.
Well, it's not like well. Your mouth is open.
Yeah, your mouth is open.
The shit didn't fly.
The shit didn't fly.
The shit didn't
fly. Duck along the hill.
Oh, Lordy.
Okay, I wanna stop right there and let you consider this. That first, and if you don't understand it, I can give you 15 scripture references to talk about how the fragrance or incense is are your prayers or your thoughts. But they've been walled to this point.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Let me say a couple things before about for those of you who haven't done the rod business.
The rod business.
Rod shtick.
One of the biggest issues that will confront you is whether or not you have aught against your brother or your brother has aught against you. And you won't be accepted if there is aught exists in either direction. The second part of it is, if there is anyone in the universe that you haven't forgiven, you can't be accepted.
How do you know if somebody has aught against you?
You just trust the spirit that brings it to your mind. You don't dig around and find it, but... But the idea that it's so wild when you see, like from the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And that is a simile in the English language, and it means that in the same manner, that if it means if there is someone that you have not forgiven, and this requires digging, then God can't forgive you, because it means that you haven't accepted grace in you. And that's biggie. You understand? Jesus said that if you haven't forgiven anyone for their trespasses against you, then the Father cannot forgive your trespasses. So think on these things. One of the questions you'll be asked is that, do you know that this action guarantees you will share our persecution, that we are certain to be harassed, despised, and afflicted from now and forevermore? Why would you care to join such a people? There is, I've said it innumerable times during the course of the ones that have already been through this, that this is probably the most important point that you will ever experience in time and space. It's a tangible affirmation, a more subjective. Is there anybody that doesn't understand this thing about forgiveness? Do you understand what we believe forgiveness? Forgiveness doesn't just mean you tolerate them. Yeah. Forgiveness means that you appreciate them. Or had it not been for them doing whatever it is, no matter what it was, you would not have been able to reach this time. So if there's anybody that doesn't understand,
the other part of the equation is that if you listen to most religions and most, whether it's Islam or the Baptists or Negro spirituals, they believe that this path, the aspect of crossing the river, occurs at your death. Well, it's true. But it occurs at your emotionalizing of what the cross is in you now. You've intellectually thought about the cross. Now it's time to emotionalize. In the case of what Daryl's been going through with regard to mind stuff, up until you pass under the rod, you have a cloak for it. The moment you pass under the rod, the instant there's anything within you that causes you to be away from joy, your only response can be, "Get thee behind me, Satan." There's never an opportunity for even desires, hopes, dreams. All of those have to be left. They'll be all taken as a tithe. That's a biggie. And you have no more cloak. The instant that thing raises its head within you, it tries to make you as God. It has to be slain instantly. We're going to see in the study of Joshua that the next thing that happens after Jericho falls is that one of the members of the camp kept the accursed thing and hid it in his tent or in his tabernacle. And the nation of Israel almost got wiped out because one of the people had kept the accursed thing and hid it within his tabernacle. You don't want to do that. And that obvious is an obvious reference to Ananias and Sapphira in the same process. If you keep the accursed thing, you will die.
Yeah.
Cursed, from the standpoint of the scriptures, means anything that hasn't touched the altar has nothing to do with the moral value that's placed on that thing. No matter what it was, the minute it touched the altar, it was transfigured from accursed to holy. Holy has none zero connotation of what the English language has made it into. Holy means to the English language good or something to be. Holy in the scripture simply means that which is dedicated, set apart. You are as much of a saint as Paul or Peter or James or any of the other apostles. And this process simply affirms that, so that it's not just an intellectual construct, it becomes an emotionalized, physicalized reality. God desires that you be sanctified body, soul, and spirit. You can't hide the accursed thing.
When this thing was over Saturday, I felt like when it was over, I felt like on either side of me was the world's vain shadow and religion's vain shadow. And those shadows were the knights of the round table, the guy kneeling with a sword touching his shoulders, and the king saying, "Arise, Sir Knight." And the church's or religion's vain shadow was the guy, the priest, or the medieval monk, prostrate on the ground, and them saying, "Arise, you're a brother." And it was those two pictures on either side. I just knew that the real was what was happening. So,
what are you laughing at? What did you feel like when they went through the process?
Well, several things took place. One was a feeling of, like I told you, John, it was just like needing the affirmation that there was the empowerment and the ability. And somebody saying, you know, get out of the nest, go, you can do it. And the other thing was, when you told me what my title was to be, it was like, that wasn't it, it was everything. I knew it was everything.
Yeah.
And there was just a total feeling of cutting everything, the ropes, everything back, it's gone.
Yeah, it's like, I felt that same thing about, you know, it was everything, you know, you go and prepare to work for whatever, and then you come to that point where it's just everything. You know, it's up to them to take what they will, and but it was so neat because I realized it was, you know, I'd given everything and poured my, you know, felt like I would be pouring, but yet at the same time, for some reason that put me in a position to where I knew I owned all things. I mean, it was like I didn't own anything, and I owned all things. It was just really, yeah, it was just, yeah. Wow.
When you guys told me what my tithe was, when you named the elements of the tithe, I could feel weights coming off of me. And then you said, "Can you give this willingly?" And it was like, that's the funniest thing I ever heard. It's like all the way across the desert and up the mountains and down through the valleys and over these rocks, I've had some crap on my back and I've been dragging a cart full of crap thinking it's so important. And you get there to the river and you look across and see what's there and you look at this stuff and it's like, God, take this shit. It's less than nothing.
Last night we were driving out to Arlington and I looked at Jackie and I said, I can really say, you know, whither thou goest, I'll go.
What am I saying? This is crazy.
I felt like I was on a cloud after I left there. But there's still the one thing that you said I would gradually understand. Can I mention that? Is the is that I give my sickness has always been an identity thing, and that it reminds me of what Harris said just a minute ago. That you've been dragging this thing along. It's a big weight, and something you want to get rid of. Part of my mind is saying, how can I get rid of it? But the other part is saying, I don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
The other, you don't have to, I want you to stop saying either thing. I mean, you understand? The moment that either what you think is a positive thing or a questioning thing, doesn't matter, but the moment you raise that question in your mind, then you are you're no longer walking in faith. I can't tell you how important. Most of you don't know enough about energy physics. Maybe Daryl does, but the weirdest thing in the universe has happened in terms of where science is today. All of the scientific instrumentation, all of the carefulness of the scientific method that has produced the technology that we have and the science that we have, has brought them to the point where they now see, and it scares the hell out of them, that the observer and the observer's desired results are what are produced in the experiment. That is so wild, it's going to take a generation of people before it even enters the world of reason. But what it says, observable science, what it says is, it proves that you will be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Because the instant that all men's minds have this capacity, the instant that your mind sees, you are. Now this has nothing to do with the visualization bullshit of hypnosis, and this has to do with faith. The moment you're able to declare and to know, I mean, I know with everything in me, Pete, that from the time when you were 3 or 4 years old, that you found you got attention from crying. Maybe earlier. And so this process that you've gone through is in the sickness is that which has been used by that hunk of protoplasm to establish your worth. You don't need anything to establish your worth ever again.
Amen.
You don't have to question, well, he can do it. He has done it. That's what all of this stuff is about.
That's one thing. I remember at that instant, I remember feeling that has been accomplished already.
But don't you understand then, when you take your mind back, even to look at it again, that's why I said, I told you over and over, you've got to have a readiness to revenge the disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Your obedience is fulfilled by the passing under the rod. You revenge the disobedience instantly, without mercy. It's Agag being hewed to pieces.
Yeah. We were driving over here and I was thinking about my plans for tomorrow. And all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute. If God has this thing in mind, he doesn't give a shit about my plans at all. He doesn't give up the flip. And I thought, but, you know, if things don't go the way I want them to, I still might get pissed off. I said, yeah, but... So what?
It's the nature of the beast.
Know you not that you are the temple of God? I mean, that's a pretty mind-blowing comment in the first place. Mm-hmm. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of the living God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, you don't see, we hear that word defile and we don't know the law, so that means, well, I can't smoke and I can't think impure thoughts. And you defile the temple.
Get my ears
pierced.
What?
Get my ears pierced. I can't tell you how many years old said, I can't get my ears pierced because my body's a temple of God.
You're kidding.
No.
That's part of it, yeah.
It's
where?
Reason, people use that of smoking too.
But I mean, ears pierced is kind of.
You defile the temple by making it Levitically unclean. And you make it Levitically unclean by thinking you're right.
Yeah.
Or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
this is the
first
time I've heard
it. Hanging out on all that.
That's why it says, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. The temple of God is set apart. Holy, because it's totally belonging to God. You can no longer be the subject of the sentence. That's mind-blowing in its simplicity. You defile the temple by making you the subject of the sentence.
This is incredible liberty.
Wow.
Therefore, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, you're wise because you have an opinion.
Amen.
Let him become a fool, that he may be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And He knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Let no man glory in man. For all things are yours. That's one of the aspects that you'll see when there are several questions we ask. One of them is, and finally, it's a declaration. Know you not now that all things in the universe are yours, and all things exist for your purpose. Not you as an individual, but us as a people. Let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. How can you be afraid of a man? Do you understand if you're afraid of a man, that you glory in him?
Amen.
If you respect a man, then you glory in him?
Yeah.
What I'll tell you, part of Harry's asset tithe was his idolatry of John and I.
Gives you some idea that when you say that, it's like, wait a minute, that's not physical.
No, but it means that from this point forward, you have no excuse. You have no cloak. Oh, that's just me. No, it's not. Whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things are yours. Well, that's just some philosophical stuff. No, it's not. It's real. And the moment your mind begins to be transformed from the ridiculous way of thinking you've done all your life of trying to make yourself right into this eternal fact, then this eternal fact will be realized in your observation. If you don't believe me, believe science itself at the ultimate end of science. Go study the top scientists in the world today, and they'll declare that same fact that's been in here for all these thousands of years. And as soon as we know it, time shall be no more. Revelation 10, when the mystery of God is completed, in the better translations it says, when the mystery of the bride is completed, time shall be no more. And we'll be taken up in the twinkling of an eye, and below us the heavens will melt. And everything that's in the earth will be burned. And it'll be our whole life as but for that instant when you've woken from a dream. And all of a sudden you wake up and you remember that dream for an instant. And then it's gone. And now all you will be aware of is an eternity of joy unspeakable, of love beyond love, of peace beyond peace. I've been there, folks. I didn't want to come back. But don't let any man, thing, mind deceive you. Any attempt to work this up will be defeated in an instant.
Daryl, forgive me, because when we're in the kitchen, I'm getting on my nerves and I didn't say anything. Okay.
Now, here's what you can expect. We are fools, for we are, well, appointed to death, we are made a spectacle unto the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, are naked or buffeted, have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world under the offscouring of all things unto this day. I don't write these things to shame you, but I write to warn you. Be ye followers of that. They speak of the world and the world heareth them. That's how you know it's a false system. Burned with fervent heat in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the speed of light, as a matter of fact.
Toast.
Is that one?
What?
I said, how fast do eyes twinkle?
Yeah,
but you pass under the rod here, so you don't pass under the rod there.
Ooh.
Well, you understand? You can't, once this occurs, once you go, then you can't allow yourself ever again to say, tomorrow. Dispensation is gone.
Yeah, it's funny, you say that, and I look at you and I go, well, yeah. But it's funny. This was never there before. It's like, and I think you can't let it go anymore. I mean, there was a time, and I would sit in here, and I would hear things, and I would go, yeah, sometime. And now there's this new voice that says, now there's no sometime anymore.
Now is the appointed time. Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy.